Chapter 10 Home. You already know. Throughout my life, and I bet yours too, certain works of literature and film have completely changed the lens through which I see the world. This list is long for me, but there are two classics in particular that I treasure. I was in my early years of high school, living with my mother in Milwaukee, when a librarian made a recommendation that would change me forever. She noticed that I checked out 5 books each visit and said, "If you like reading these kinds of books, you might like To Kill a Mockingbird." She was right. The moment I picked it up, I was entranced. The story of Boo Radley, Scout, and Atticus Finch is probably the reason I started a book club, because it was one of the first books that I wanted everyone around me to read. I was drawn to Scout's spirit. I felt a kinship with her curiosity and admired that, despite her age, young Scout knew exactly who she was and what she believed. I felt emboldened by Scout. At the time, I was awakening to the idea of racism, just like her, and her eyes were opening to the complex realities of the world, just like mine. I also wanted the kind of relationship Scout had with her father, Atticus, especially when she called him by his first name. Many years after I'd read the book, I found myself at a luncheon seated next to Gregory Peck, who, of course, portrayed Atticus in the movie version of the book. The only words I could think to say were, "So, how's Scout?" Mr. Peck was gracious and answered my question about his co-star who played the little girl. "Well," he said, "that was 40 years ago, so she's okay." To me, Scout was as powerful a character that day as she was the first time I opened the book and then saw her come to life in the movie. A part of Scout will reside in me for the rest of my life. It was the plight of another strong-willed girl in one of the most beloved films of all time that unlocked an early spiritual awakening for me. I was 7 or 8 when I figured out that The Wizard of Oz was more than a story about a bump on the head and a fantastical dream. The moment I realized that the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion were actually Dorothy's friends from Auntie Em's farm, something clicked deep within. I didn't have the words to express it at the time, but as I grew into my own path of awareness, I understood The Wizard of Oz to be one of the great spiritual teachings of all time. Dorothy was on what the great philosopher Joseph Campbell so famously called a hero's journey. The yellow brick road represented the path toward her true self. Along the way, she encountered the disempowered parts of herself, the Scarecrow's wish for a brain, the Tin Man's desire for a heart, the Cowardly Lion's longing for courage. Like so many of us, Dorothy believed she needed something outside herself. In her case, the great and powerful Oz, to bestow the cherished virtues on her friends and bring her home. But in what I believe is the most powerful moment of the film, Glinda the Good Witch says the words that spiritual teachers have been trying to convey for thousands of years. "You don't need to be helped any longer," Glinda tells Dorothy. "You've always had the power." Dorothy's most trusted companion, the Scarecrow, asks Glinda, "Then why didn't you tell her before?" And Glinda replies, "Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself." This was probably the greatest aha moment of my life. No matter how far away from yourself you may have strayed, there is always a path back. You already know who you are and how to fulfill your destiny, and your ruby slippers are ready to carry you home. Just before Dorothy clicks her heels, she shares the universal lesson that applies to each and every person here on Earth. "If I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard, because if it isn't there, I never really lost it to begin with." The final chapter of this book is meant to illustrate that you have the power to discover your purpose and live your greatest truth. It doesn't matter how many yellow brick roads you encounter. It has always been right there, at home, in your own backyard, in your heart. We'll begin with Debbie Ford.
What I know for sure is that we are all created with this phenomenal force inside of us that can have us withstand, like that God never gives us more than we can handle. And that everything that comes our way is coming our way so that we can grow and evolve. And if we look at it like that, if we're willing to open our hearts and see where we're shut down, where we're trying to resist life, then we have the great opportunity to step into who we always wanted to be.
Here's Father Richard Rohr.
All spiritual knowledge is not cognition, it's recognition. You're re-knowing what you deeply already knew.
Yeah.
What you deeply intuited, suspected, desired, hoped for, that's the soul. The discovery of myself and the discovery of God will eventually be parallel movements. Well, initially, too, that you fall into one and you fall into the other. You fall deeper into yourself, you fall deeper into God. You fall deeper into God, you have permission to fall deeper into yourself, even warts and all, you know. So they sort of play back and forth.
Sue Monk Kidd.
I have this phrase that I call the old woman, and I say that with great fondness. My daughter and I went on travels and wrote a book, Traveling with Pomegranates. And on those journeys, I was searching for that old woman, the woman I wanted to grow into. She's wise. She's bold. She's strong and resilient. She knows her voice. She speaks it, and she stands by it. Mm. This is the old woman for me. She's distilled down. In my novel, The Invention of Wings, there's a moment where Handful looks at Sarah, my character, at the end,
yes.
And she says, she's been boiled down into a good, strong broth.
I love that
line. I want to be that. I want to be a good, strong broth that has those qualities of the old woman I went off searching for.
And now, Elizabeth Gilbert.
What did you discover that you never knew you had?
That I can take care of myself completely. I got my own back. That I can take care of myself. And I don't just mean financially, I mean emotionally. That I know that I became a responsible enough adult to be allowed to be alone with the child who is inside of me. I can take care of you.
And you know that no matter what, you're going to be all right.
I'm going to be all right.
Elizabeth Lesser defines the simplicity of love.
In the end, I know the lesson you wish for all of us is to live each day from the marrow.
Yeah. We think that the answer to life is complicated or you got to go on some big quest for it. And it turns out to be you're enough just because you are.
You're enough.
And find the seed of enoughness in the other person. You know, give them that gift. You're enough too. And that's where love is. That is the seed of love to people who know who they are in their grand simplicity. Seeing each other beyond the labels, beyond the ego, just being enough with each other.
The legendary Sidney Poitier.
I am most proud of being accepted as a useful human being. Useful to my children, to my parents who are no longer here, to my friends, to my environment. I'm not the human being that I would one day hope to be, but I've come a long way. I really have come a very, very long way. And I'm proud of that because I am indeed a better person than once I ever was. We are imperfect creatures. We are. That's what it is. But we should try reaching for the better you, the better me. There is pain and there is difficulties and there is fears and all the kinds of things that we live with. But it is through them we have to reach. We have to reach out, not just to each other, but to the universe.
Jack Canfield.
My belief is that the whole purpose of life is to gain mastery, of our emotions, our finances, our relationships, our consciousness through meditation, things like that. And it's not about the stuff. All the stuff can be taken away. People lose their fortunes. They lose their reputation. Beautiful spouses die or leave you. But who you became in the process can never be taken away. Never. You are mastering through the process of overcoming these obstacles that you face in life.
And now, Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm in a relationship now where I have equal love, that I love her and she loves me and we respect each other and we're kind and we're gentle. And as someone once said, it's wonderful to be loved, but it's profound to be understood.
Sean Acor helps us understand what we really need to appreciate.
You all have all heard it. Is the glass half empty or the glass half full? Well, you're saying, what does it matter if you have a pitcher nearby?
That's right. I think that there's a different way of even looking at this. We get so focused on the glass. We can argue forever and ever between optimists and pessimists, and both can say that they're being unrealistic. But it doesn't matter if we looked at more of the world and saw that there's a pitcher of water that's sitting next to it.
What about the people who say, I don't have no pitcher?
I think that we do. I think that we do the more we connect to other people around us.
I would say the world itself is the picture.
Yeah.
Life is the picture.
The life is the picture. And we're missing the picture sometimes when we're so focused on that one element. But if we look for other ways, we can actually fill up that glass. And so I actually could care less about whether it's half full or half empty right now if I could fill it up. And so that's what we have people start to look for is, how do I connect to other people around me? How do I believe my behavior matters?
Boy, that changed me. That's good. Oh, God, that's a good one.
Wonderful.
I could care less if it's half empty or half full.
Yes.
If you have the picture to fill it up.
Robin Roberts shares what she's learned seeing her life as an eternal optimist.
Optimism is like a muscle that gets stronger with use. When you want to build a muscle, you got to keep using it. But that's how you have to be. And I'm an internal optimist. And so I can find those little silver linings, those little moral victories. God has three answers to prayer. Yes. Not yet. And I have something even better in mind. I always like the third one. I always feel there is something better in mind. I feel that for others too, that the best is yet to come. And it takes courage to believe that the best is yet to come.
Here's my aha moment with Jean Houston.
I believe that we are here with deep purpose to become all that we can be. I believe that we have been given the most beautiful planet in the galaxy to work out and to enjoy. It isn't just a working out. It is truly to enjoy the gifts of our incarnation. I believe that we are headed ultimately in the right direction. I believe that we have been given sufficient stress, crisis, complexity, and consciousness to do things that are beyond our imagination, larger than our aspiration, more complex than all our dreams. I believe in love. I believe in you. I believe in me. I believe in this, the most potent moment in human history.
Jane Fonda shares how she's lived her life with purpose and intention.
I've done a lot of things in my life. There's a lot of parts to my life. I have thought very deliberately and intentionally a lot about my life and why certain things happen and what they mean and so forth. I learned that the goal is to be whole, to be of a piece, to reside inside your skin. I don't want to die tomorrow, but if I do, I go out happy because I've worked hard at making the most of what I've been given. My best legacy is my life. And the lesson is, it's never too late.
Gary Zukav encapsulates our path made clear.
It's just like The Wizard of Oz, one of my favorite spiritual teachings. It's just like the moment when the Wicked Witch of the West is trying to get to Dorothy and Glinda says, go away, you have no power here. You have no power here because the goodness and the light is so strong that the Wicked Witch of the West has no ability to affect that territory.
That's right. I wouldn't say that the universe, I understand this story and I love it too. Mm-hmm. By the way, I come from Kansas. And I understand it. The universe doesn't look in terms of good, bad, better, worse, success, failure. It looks in terms of limitation and opportunity. The more the loving parts of your personality are the ones you're cultivating, the more opportunity you have.
Absolutely.
The more fear is controlling you, and the more limitation you have.
But isn't the ultimate lesson where Glinda says to Dorothy, "You've always had it, my dear. You've always had the power." Isn't that the ultimate lesson we're all trying to remember?
Yes, it is. That you are a powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirit. And the more you cultivate a loving part of your personality, the more it begins to fill your experience and your field of awareness until that's all that is.